Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello, everyone. The New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly continued last night to defend the stop and frisk program by criticizing local politicians in the city's high crime neighborhoods.
Community leaders are trying, but political leaders who attack us, attack the police department, we're trying to solve a problem. And they're attacking us for trying to solve the problem as opposed to acknowledging the problem and the size and scope of the problem. Because in many of their communities, the victims are, as I say, young men of color, shooting other young men of color. We're trying to solve the problem. They're not acknowledging it, but attacking the police department.
He said that on New York One's Inside City Hall. And he said this about elected officials and others who spend more time pressuring the police than pressuring the criminals.
Oh, I think they're concerned about it, but I think they're also somewhat myopic. They are not acknowledging the size and scope of the problem, yet they're willingly criticizing the police department for trying to address the problem. And as I said, I think we're saving lives. Well, if you look at the numbers, we have a record low year in murders so far this year. Obviously, we saw last weekend that can turn around quickly with the number of guns we have on the street.
Police Commissioner Ray Kelly with Ara Lewis on New York One. So listeners, if you live in a high crime area, in a high stop and frisk area, is Kelly making an important point or is he just showing that he's become out of touch? 212-433-WNYC or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And what about your elected officials? We'll talk to two of them in a minute. Do they talk too much about stop and frisk and not enough about the violent crime that stop and frisk is supposed to prevent? 212-433-9692. And what about for you yourself, especially if you are a young male of color, if maybe you have a son who is or another loved one? Which do you spend more time worrying about, getting stopped unjustly by a cop or getting shot by a thug? 212-433-WNYC. As your calls are coming in, we have Brooklyn City Council member Jumani Williams, who represents Flatbush, Canarsie, and other neighborhoods in Brooklyn, and City Council member Melissa Mark Viverito, who represents East Harlem and parts of the Bronx and Upper West Side. Councilwoman, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You heard those clips of Commissioner Kelly, Councilwoman Mark Viverito, forgive me. Do you think he's talking about you?
Well, let's be clear. You know, we're not all monolithic, right, as elected officials. But I think that what that mindset that the commissioner is presenting of this us versus them mentality is definitely counterproductive. We all want safe neighborhoods. We are elected officials that live within our districts. We are not immune to the violence that is the reality, unfortunately, in some of our neighborhoods. We are working within our communities. We are bringing together the faith-based communities, the community-based organizations. We are trying to address it. But we have to have partnership with our commissioner. We have to have partnership with our NYPD. And just because some of us believe that stop and frisk strongly based on the statistics is an ineffective strategy. You know, the cornerstone of effective policing is having strong community relations. And at the essence of stop and frisk is the erosion of that community trust. That is our concern. We want safe communities, and we will continue to work towards that end.
And Councilman Williams, do you think your constituents are as likely to see you expressing outrage about violent criminals with guns as they are likely to see you expressing outrage about the excesses of stop and frisk, to the commissioner's point?
So absolutely. Every public statement I've made, I have said I want safer streets and better policing. Unfortunately, the media usually covers the better policing part, but I always say I want safer streets, I want better policing. What the commissioner's trying to do is have a fake dichotomy of those two things. My community deserves both safer streets and better policing. I've done everything I can. We've had marches. We've had prayer vigils. As a matter of fact, the marches that I have, my second annual, not in my hood, march against gun violence had to get special permission from the commissioner. He hasn't come to either of those. Every funeral that I've been to, I admonish the kids who are even at the funeral, blaming them for making this young man be at the funeral. See, for me, I know for the mayor and the commissioner, their stats, they need to get their stats down. But for me and people who represent communities like mine, they're actual human beings that we have to deal with and their families after the murders have happened. So no one wants this gun violence to be lessened more than the people who represent these communities, not even the commissioner and the mayor who don't live in these communities. And when it comes to stop, question, and frisk, the problem is not just that it's racially biased, prejudice, and violates civil rights and civil liberties. The biggest problem is it's ineffective. It's not working. So I'm happy that the murder rate is down, not as much as they are saying, but it is down. I'm happy about that. I want it to go further down. And I'm happy more people are surviving being shot because the shooting rate is going up. But what we want are for people to stop being shot. The mayor and the commissioner have failed to do that. Part of that failure is the hubris that is known in this administration and being displayed by the commissioner, being wedded to policies that they can see by their own numbers are not working.
Let's take a phone call. Merrill in Clinton Hill, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi. You know, I'm just annoyed with this whole situation. I have a son who is going to be in 12th grade and goes to one of the fanciest private schools in Brooklyn Heights. And he's been stopped on numerous occasions. And all he's done is carried an L.L. Bean backpack. And I just find it outrageous that the commissioner and the mayor can think that this is okay. You know, if they had black sons, I'm sure they wouldn't think that it was okay. But it drives me absolutely crazy. Here my son is going to be applying to some of the fanciest colleges in the world, and yet this is what he's subjected to. And it makes me furious, and I'm tired of it.
Merrill, thank you very much for your call. We go next to Dee in Brooklyn. Dee, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dee. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say this. Last month, I was driving down the road, and the kid got shot in front of me. He died right in front of me while I was on the phone to police. I'm a minority, and I think it's ridiculous that we all moan and complain about stop and frisk when the reality is we are the ones that are the most affected. And the reality also is, he pointed out, the homicide rate. I'm a doctor. The homicide rate is highest for young black males, and the people that are killing them are young black males, and what they're being killed with is these weapons. So let's continue to do what we can to get the guns off the streets. We have to save their lives before we can complain about rights being violated.
Dee, thank you very much. So two very different points of view from our first two callers. And Councilmember Mark Viverito, as for the program itself and its effectiveness, stopping nearly 700,000 people last year, overwhelmingly young men of color. The commissioner says the program got about 800 illegal guns off the street. So he says for those who think it's a racially biased tactic, he said on New York One, to remember not just who's being stopped and frisked, but whose lives are being protected. Listen to this clip.
We're down 6,000 police officers. There's still a proliferation of guns on the street. Hopefully we're doing this practice with courtesy and respect. Mm-hmm. Our civilian complaints in this area are down. And I would submit to you that we are saving lives. And the lives that we're saving are largely young men of color because they're the ones that are being victimized.
Councilwoman, your reaction to that and to the last caller who seemed to echo the priority?
Well, you know, we can repeat the mantra, right? That this is the reason why they say that stop and frisk has to be done the way it's done. And they can repeat it all they want. It doesn't make it factually true. If you look at the number and the proportion of gun seizures has actually fallen, although the number of stop and frisk has dramatically risen. We have never said that we want to eliminate stop and frisk. We said we have to have serious reform. If it is targeted and if it is implemented the way that it is supposed to be implemented, you're still going to get guns off the street, but you don't have to erode that community trust, and you don't have to violate people's civil liberties. That is at the essence of our criticism. And unfortunately, what the commissioner is trying to do is to really kind of distract from the essence of the problem here, and now trying to point and blame and point fingers at the elected officials. And that is unfortunate. I think Senator Adams was very accurate on point yesterday at the press conference when he said that the NYPD will stand up strong and the commission will take all the credit it personally for the drop in crime. But then when we have these spikes in violence, suddenly let's displace that responsibility onto someone else. Again, I want to have a collaborative, and I believe I have a collaborative relationship with my precincts in my district, and I am, and I want to collaborate with the NYPD. But just because we choose to be very focused and say that at the essence, these policies, sometimes when they're implemented and they're ineffective, actually are counterproductive at the essence of what we want to do. So, and, you know, I'm concerned about that.
And Councilman Williams, on the effectiveness, again, and relative to other cities, the commissioner said last night that Brooklyn last year had less than 200 murders for the first time since the early 1960s and is on pace for that again this year. So he says they're being effective. By contrast, Philadelphia has become more cautious in its stop and frisk program for civil rights reasons, and murders are going up there this year. Not that we can draw a complete cause and effect relationship, but do you think there is a relationship or that that would be worth the trade-off?
So, one, I just want to make sure I say that there is a nugget of truth in some of the commissioner's comments. I do believe some more leaders need to step up and speak out. The problem is the commissioner has an audacity to say that because he's not even listening to those of us who are speaking up and speaking out. And I think the last caller was absolutely correct. These are black and Latino young men shooting black and Latino young men. Something has to be done to end the violence. There is no disagreement there. The problem is the stop, question, and frisk is not doing that. You are more likely to be shot now than when the mayor became mayor. This is the problem. So I'm happy that if you are shot, it's less likely to turn into a murder. I'm glad that the medical treatment is better. I'm glad that all ambulances now have defibrillators. And there are things that are being done that help people survive the shooting. What I want to see are programs and policies that actually prevent the shooting. So they like to look at the numbers that make it seem as if they are being effective, like the murder rate, which the largest dip in murder rate happened before stop, question, and frisk was implemented the way it is, before even the mayor was mayor. So he's comparing apples to oranges. Second of all, if you compare pure shootings, which is what stop, question, and frisk is supposed to stop, if you go precinct by precinct, there is no correlation. One of my precincts, which was listed as one of the ones that have the highest spike, year over year from 2010 to 2011, did almost 1,500 more stops. They had less guns and had more shootings. We have proposed different policing strategies, like focused deterrence. We have proposed different programs that will help suppress the gun violence. They ignore us. So ignoring someone is not the same as saying that they're not saying anything.
Let's get a couple of more callers in. Dexter from the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dexter.
Hi. I agree with the police commissioner. Stop and frisk is a very good tool that they should use in the arsenal because I used to carry a gun. I know a lot of people who carry guns. And way back in the, from back in the 80s, and one thing you always be scared of that, you're going to get pulled over. You're going to get searched. And when it comes to a gun battle in the street and you pull your gun out, you have a gunfight, if there's a little child pass by, innocent bystander could get hurt. And
So more fear of being pulled over is a deterrent to even carrying an illegal weapon?
Yes, because when you got a illegal weapon, before you used to get, like back in the 80s, you would get like a 6 month probation. You might even get a year.
Right. So the sentences got tougher as well as the stop and frisk program ramping up. Thank you. And Linnell in East Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linnell.
Hi. Good morning. I live in East Flatbush. Jamani Williams is my council person, and I take offense to what the commissioner had to say regarding stop and frisk versus, you know, the leaders saying anything about the violence in the community, because I make sure that, I know a lot of people don't, but I make sure I attend my community board meetings. I make sure, you know, I'm a member of one of the committees on the community board, and I also, if I can, I try to make precinct council meetings as well. And these things are talked about. They do have, there are, you know, as Giovanni said, there are events and demonstrations and prayer vigils that are held in the community all the time regarding Stop the Violence. Unfortunately, the media doesn't pick up on those, and I think the police department and the commissioner knows this, that the media does not publicize when these events are going on, so it's as if they don't exist.
I think that's a fair point, and I wonder how much of this dispute, Councilman Williams, between the commissioner and local officials, you think is the media's fault, that we spend a lot of time covering your stop and frisk protests, but not your Not in My Neighborhood march that you referenced before?
Obviously, I think there is some things that the media should do better and must do better to get this message across. But the commissioner knows about these events. As I said, that Not in My Hood march actually had to get special permission from his office because we needed a special permit. And he doesn't come out to these events even when invited. Now, you have funerals for people like Zarana Horton, who died a hero being shot protecting other children. That was the perfect event for the mayor or the commissioner to show up. And I believe if these people's lives were as important as the stats that they mentioned, they would show up to some of these funerals. They can't show up to all of them, but there are some that draw a lot of media attention. People died as heroes or have special circumstances around it, and they don't show up. So I think they know, but like they do with the statistics, they like to put out there what they want to put out there instead of looking at the facts. And to the gentleman who called earlier, I like his call. My only question is, and I keep hammering this home because we're reacting from emotion, which I understand. But if the deterrent was there, why are the shootings going up?
Exactly. It already exists.
I want to play you a clip of the mayor of Chicago, Councilwoman Rahm Emanuel. And I think this is an example of the kind of vocal pushback against crime that the commissioner is talking about. This is Chicago Mayor Emanuel making a public plea on CBS in light of increased gang violence in his city.
You got two gangbangers, one standing next to a kid. Get away from that kid. Take your stuff to the alley. Don't touch the children of the city of Chicago. Don't get near them.
Have you ever given a speech like that, Councilwoman?
Well, we talk in our communities all the time. Well, not, you know, so we are interacting, as Giovanni said, and we said we need to stop this within our communities, and we want to get involved. I'm looking at focusing, and I've had very productive conversations with Mr. Kennedy, David Kennedy, that was referred to by Giovanni, on the focus deterrence strategy, which has proven to be extremely effective in Chicago. We need to be looking at the strategies that are going to work. And again, this is a distraction. I will commend, and I will be the first to say, and I've said it very publicly, that I thank the mayor for the focus he's giving this nationally. Getting guns off our street, we need to close the laws and the loopholes that exist. We will do what it takes at a local community level, but we want that partnership to change the laws, to really strengthen the gun laws in this city, to go against and push back against the NRA and all of those reactionary elements that want to strip us, you know, of the safety that we want in our neighborhoods. We've got to work collectively, and I will be the first to do that. We, again, interact on a daily basis with our communities. We hear firsthand the concern about the violence. We also hear very loudly the concern about the policies that don't work, like stop and frisk. We have to balance all of that, and that is our responsibility. So, again, we will work in partnership, and I really want to commend the work of those who are doing work every day in our communities. I do laud and commend the work of the police officers, but I don't think that we should try or attempt to be silenced because we choose to be vocal. And that's what I think is what the commissioner is doing, is just trying to distract from, you know, the essence. And I think, and at the end of the day, what he's expressing is a frustration. We're all frustrated, and we're scared. Let's be real. We're scared. We don't want to see violence increase. We want our children to be safe. We want our families to be safe. We want to be able to walk the street without being concerned. But, you know, we have to work in partnership and not a us versus them kind of mentality, which is what is being presented by the commissioner.
Well, folks, as there is a summer spike in shootings in New York, and as there is new constitutional scrutiny on the stop and frisk policy, as well as scrutiny of its effectiveness, there is also this new tension, I think it's fair to say, and perhaps it'll result in a new dialogue between the police commissioner and local leaders. We thank City Councilman Jemani Williams of Brooklyn, City Councilwoman Melissa Mark Viverito of Manhattan in the Bronx, for having some of that dialogue here. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Anna in the Swing States. Our national political reporter, Anna Sale, from Northern Colorado today, the first stop on her tour of regions in play in the presidential election.